Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Come on.
This episode is brought to you by Money Alignment Academy. If you are looking for a financial wellness platform for your company, your organization, and your employees, check out moneyalignmentacademy.com or click on the link in the notes of the show. Amy Dempster is an earth tender and portal keeper. She's communicating with spirits and the healing energies of nature. And now finally, a guest on Lifeblood Complete. Welcome, Amy.
Thank you so much for having me, George.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you on. This is George G. Let's go. Amy, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Yeah, well, I live in the forest of northwest Montana, just outside Glacier National Park with my husband and my cat. And I do a lot of work with the earth and with nature. And so this is a wonderful place to live, to be able to do that as well. But yeah, I have, you know, been on a spiritual journey for a number of years, and really kind of started with me just sharing my experiences on a personal blog for my own purposes, just to kind of keep track and see what was really happening. And as time passed, people started finding my stories and saying, I'm having these experiences too. And so, you know, we all realized that maybe we weren't completely alone, and it wasn't maybe as weird as we thought it was, having these kind of experiences where we're, you know, connecting with nature, with trees, with mountains, those types of things. And so, yeah, that's really kind of what I do now, is help people understand their experiences and tune into their own gifts in connecting in this way.
Nice. So did you grow up in northwest Montana? Tell me a little bit about your experience growing up and your family and all that stuff.
Yeah, no, I actually grew up in Northern California, a rural area kind of outside of Sacramento. And I did grow up on a farm, and we had sheep primarily. And so I was in nature and around nature a lot growing up, but I wasn't, you know, this isn't the kind of thing that's really taught to us in our culture in such a way, although I think as small children it comes to us naturally to interact and communicate with nature. And so yeah, I grew up there, and then I took a pretty traditional route. I went to college, although for agriculture. I was a plant science major, so I think it's always kind of been there in my background. And but then, you know, got a job, started working, ended up in, you know, working in a downtown environment for 15 years, and really kind of got away from some of those connections that I'd always had. And as the years went by, it was feeling heavier and heavier on me to feel so separated in that way. And so that was really, after a number of years, what kind of spurred me on to moving somewhere where I could be more immersed in the environment.
Awesome. So you grew up around sheep. How do you feel about sheep right now? Do you love them, or do you never want to see a sheep ever again?
Well, I do joke all the time, like I would never have livestock again after having them as a kid, but mostly because of, you know, it is a full-time, round-the-clock commitment to do that. And so if it's not something that you feel that you want to commit that much of your life to, I wouldn't suggest getting livestock. But I love sheep and I love growing up that way and having those experiences.
Okay, fair enough. There's a vote of confidence for sheep out there. Yeah. I like it. All right, so I absolutely love going out in nature. I grew up in northern Minnesota and grew up going up to the Boundary Waters, and now I live in Arizona, and we have great, it's just a different kind of natural beauty. And when I'm out in nature, I really enjoy it, but I don't know that I feel like a deep connection. I do not feel like I'm communicating with nature. What is your experience? Tell me a little bit about how you experience nature.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I think for the most part, I think that's how most people feel, right? Like I love being outside, but I'm not making any, you know, deeper connections. Although I'm oftentimes surprised at how many people can tell me the name of a tree that they know. They'll say, oh yes, that's Wanda. And so, oh, okay. You know, sometimes there's connections happening even when you don't realize, you know, that you're making those connections. But I find that it's just kind of the way that we interact in nature. You know, we tend to go outside and, you know, behave in the same way we do any other time. We're with other people, we're walking really fast, we're talking the whole time. And so it's just easy to, you know, blaze right past things that that are right there in front of us. And so, you know, nature is very subtle in its communication. And so once we kind of learn that and learn how they communicate, you'll realize how much is there all around you. And so I usually tell people, you know, step one, very first thing is just to go outside and leave your phone in the house, go by yourself. And however long it would normally take you to say, walk around your block or, you know, walk around a trail in the park, take twice as long to do it. Walk half as fast. And just in that slowing down, really looking around and seeing just what catches your attention. You know, do you see a tree that seems, you know, like the leaves are brighter green than all the other trees, or a flower that's especially pretty to you? Those are ways that nature is communicating with us and really just giving us an invitation. It's there if we want it, and we can really stop and just even just ask in our head, you know, what do you have to share with me today? And you might be surprised what you get.
Nice. Well, I appreciate that. What is available for, we can just use me as an example. You could say, hey, George, you know, if you would be more open or more asking of the kind of questions that you just ask, or just what is the potential?
In the communication in that way?
With communicating with spirits. I saw that on your work, you talk about portals and grids. So I guess it's one of those enormous questions. Tell me everything that you do really succinctly, Amy.
Yeah. Well, that is a challenge.
Right.
And I think, you know, the most simple way to explain it is really, you know, coming back into partnership with the natural world, which is really how we're meant to be as humans. And, you know, we are part of the natural ecosystem, but we have just in our culture separated ourselves so much that we believe it's something, you know, outside of us. And so, once you get into it deeper, you know, it begins kind of with those outward things where I can see the tree, I can see the plant, I can see the flower, you know, I can talk to my house plant, to those types of things that seem much more in our environment and tangible. But then there are a lot of intangible things that are happening in our environment, whether we see them or not. And, you know, a lot of those things most people can feel or pick up on. You know, most of us have been in a building or a house where we've thought, I don't like how this feels, or, sure, you know, something feels strange here, or this feels creepy. You know, those are all things that we're, you know, very familiar with. But understanding why that is and how to kind of figure out what is going on here, and is it something that can use my assistance or not in some cases. And so really, you know, from a big picture level, that's really what I'm helping people to do, is to learn how to speak the language of nature and of these other energies that are in our environment, and then work in partnership. Because, you know, it's when we work together that we can really start seeing profound shifts and changes in our environment. And, you know, unfortunately, there is a lot of trauma that is held in the land, things that happen in a given place, you know, that energy stays and sticks in that place. And until, you know, we're willing to work together with the spirits of a place to help bring it back into alignment, help do some of that healing work, it's difficult for them to ground that healing into this physical plane where we live. So when we work together with them, we're doing that. We're helping actually make those shifts and changes that we can see and feel in these places that we all live.
Yeah, it certainly seems like we as human beings have been running contrary to what you just described. It's more of trying to control nature, dominate it, influence it to the way that we want it to be. I just saw this meme that's been going around, at least on my social media. And it's like, well, parents keep saying, why aren't kids going outside? And has a picture of like just a street with just 1,000 street signs and a million different chain restaurants. And it says, this is the outside that they built. So,
right. It's like, it's so true. Yeah.
So in terms of, and this is maybe a gross question, but just in terms of the benefit that the potential goodness that would come from this. When I'm more in tune with nature, I'm interested in having a beautiful natural world and being more aligned to having a healthy environment. The good that I'll feel if I'm able to do that is extremely valuable. Are there other benefits that you point to and say, you know, not only that, George, but this is also something that you could expect?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think most of us inherently know that we feel good when we go out in nature, but we don't really have any further information, you know, yeah. or, you know, concrete things to hold on to. And what's really interesting was there was a survey or a study done a number of years ago where scientists were able to kind of study the vibration or the frequency that was being delivered through healing modalities. So say Reiki or shamanic healing or those types of things where people are channeling energy for healing purposes with other people. And what they found was that the frequency was exactly the same as the Earth's natural frequency. And so what happens when we go outside is our bodies, our frequency immediately finds resonance with the Earth, with nature, and we immediately snap back into that kind of, it's our natural vibration, but it's a healing vibration. And so that's why it feels good when we're outside. That's why it feels good when we put our hands on a tree and we're receiving that healing energy right away. And so it's really remarkable what can happen when we just take that time to go outside and make that connection. And I think, you know, in the time that we're, you know, living in now and always, really, you know, people are really dealing with a lot of, you know, anxiety and just really uncertainty about the future and how that takes its toll on our physical and our mental and our spiritual bodies. And so having something that's so easy and accessible, such as going outside in nature, is really an easy way to connect back to that vibration that feels so good to us.
Yeah, I think that certainly makes a lot of sense, because we are certainly feeling incredibly disjointed and anxious and stressed out, and we are unhealthy, and especially what's been going on over the past year or however long it's been, when there is, in fact, a very simple thing that is potentially available to us, which is going outside and just disconnecting from phones and everything else and trying to get back to that, the resting or our original vibration.
Right, right. I think we make it really overwhelming and complicated sometimes. Yeah, like I can't disconnect and go live off the land and be off the grid. I have a job and I have a family and I have things to do. And that's, you know, all true. In some ways, it's, you know, impossible for most of us to, you know, shift to that kind of a lifestyle, but it's completely possible to include things in our day-to-day lives that help us remember that and help us be in connection in that way.
Yeah. Yeah. So the more that we can find, just to incorporate some kind of a practice, even if it's just going outside for a walk on a daily basis, would probably do us a lot of good.
Exactly. Yeah.
Nice. So when you talk about portals and grids, what is that?
Yeah, so these are energies that are held within the Earth. So, you know, the Earth has an electromagnetic field and it has, you know, what you would consider a grid within it. And so that's just where concentrated energy is moving around the Earth, both directions. I get them backwards, latitude and longitude.
Sure, yeah.
You know, in grid. So they're in a grid shape around the Earth. And so oftentimes in places that these, you know, these lines cross over, you have a extra concentrated point of energy. And so you may find a vortex or a portal in that area, which is exactly what you imagine it to be, you know, a swirling column of energy. And I usually say that, you know, if a vortex is the interstate, then the portal is the exit. So there are lots of places you may have vortexes, which is just energy moving through. And then there are other places where there may be an actual door to exit into another plane of existence. And so, you know, we oftentimes, I think, through our influence of TV and movies, think about, you know, teleporting ourselves, transporting ourselves, you know, somewhere else to another time or another place. But it's really more through our consciousness, right? So you're putting your consciousness into a portal and traveling to another another location or another time to interact with others who are on a similar frequency as you.
Very cool. That is a little bit, from my perspective, probably next level than me going out and taking a walk.
But it's all possible.
That's probably going to be part two of our conversation. So I think I mentioned that I live in Phoenix, and just north of us is Sedona. How did we figure out this grid and where these vortexes are? And is there a vortex in Sedona actually, or is that?
Yeah. So interestingly, I have never been to Sedona, but I'm going to be in there in June. So I'm looking forward to experiencing Sedona for the first time. But different people are more energetically attuned to, you know, feeling these vortexes. People always ask me, how could I find one? And if you have a one of the tourist attraction vortexes somewhere nearby, they're usually very powerful actual vortexes. So that's a really good way to go feel what it feels like. Go take the tour and feel the energy, because it feels like a swirling energy, certainly in that area. And once you're familiar with it, you can kind of pick up on it in other places where you're maybe not expecting it. And then you think, oh, I'm feeling that energy in my body, you know, kind of moving in the similar way. So, so that's, you know, one way to do it. A lot of them have been found or located and traced and tracked by people who do dowsing. I don't know if you've heard of that before, but, you know, the people who use sticks to look for water, which is a really simplistic way of explaining what they're doing. Again, they're able to kind of follow where those veins and where those energy lines move.
Very cool. Well, Amy, the people are ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
Well, it's another super simple thing, but super, super important, I think. If you can turn your phone all the way off when you go to bed at night and sleep with your phone off, that even when it's in airplane mode, there is a frequency coming out that is interrupting your natural frequency. And so getting your phone all the way off when you sleep will actually let you make that connection back to your natural vibration, connect back to the earth, and not have that interference while you're sleeping.
Well, I think that is great stuff that definitely gets, come on. If everybody did that, what like percentage would humanity just automatically improve, Amy? Like, 10,
oh my gosh.
Like 10%, 15%?
Who knows? Maybe it's crazy amount. Maybe it would be huge. But yeah, it's kind of amazing when you learn about it. The actual frequency coming out of your phone tells your body that it's daylight, even though it's not daylight. So it's also interrupting a lot of people's sleep patterns.
Yeah. Yet another reason to get rid of our phones. Like, well, Amy, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can people engage with you?
Yeah, you can find me online at followinghawks.com, like the bird. And I'm also at Following Hawks on Instagram. And I have a podcast called The Earth Keepers Podcast.
Oh, I love it. Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Amy your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Check out The Earth Keepers Podcast. Go to followinghawks.com and you can find her on Instagram as well. I'll list all those in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Amy.
Thanks so much for having me, George.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight, as we are all in this together.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.